Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gileadi and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gileadi here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this?
Great. Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday, yeah.
I love Palm Sunday.
Yeah.
Hope awesome. You got palms at your church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. It's a great commemoration, as
it
we're
going
to see in a minute.
The entrance of Jesus into the Holy City.
Woo!
Triumphantly.
Triumphantly. On a donkey.
Yeah.
Being on a donkey, see, that's a good point. We're going to get to that, but maybe we should read about it.
Where would we find
Which account do you want to read?
Where would we find the story at?
There's even a prophecy about it. The prophet Zechariah.
Do we want to do the prophecy first?
Yeah, let's do the prophecy first. It's Zechariah 9:9. Now, Zechariah was a minor prophet. Remember, there were 12 of them, and they're all in the same scroll. So he didn't write enough to have his own scroll.
Oh, he didn't have his own scroll?
No, he didn't have his own scroll.
Should we bother?
No. Oh, but he was pretty cool.
Okay.
But he was pretty, I mean, he's no Isaiah, but he was pretty cool.
All right, let's give him a try.
Just kidding, Zechariah. No, he's my favorite minor prophet. He knows
He's got some good stuff.
Oh, he does. So Zechariah 9:9, I mean, this is so cool that you won't even be able to stand it. Do you have it ready?
I do.
Go ahead.
Exalt greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout for joy, O daughter Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. A just savior is he. Humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.
Oof.
He shall banish the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem. The warrior's bow will be banished, and he will proclaim peace to the nations. His dominion will be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth.
Woo.
Wow.
So this is the approach of Messiah into the holy city. I mean, the king is coming, and Zechariah points out he's bringing salvation with him. He's coming into the city, and he's bringing salvation. Now, this is, 5 days before Good Friday.
Yeah.
And he's bringing salvation with him, which we know this was his last trip to Jerusalem. And interestingly, he's riding on a donkey, not only a donkey, but a baby donkey, not even an adult donkey. It's a service animal.
Mm-hmm.
The donkey was what poor people used to do all their stuff with.
Yeah.
And they didn't have, the rich people had horses, poor people used donkeys. And a king generally came somewhere riding a big white horse, being surrounded by soldiers. And here the king with a capital K comes into the city because, after all, Psalm 2:6 says that God sets his king on the holy hill of Zion. So he comes into the city, but he's riding a donkey.
Yeah.
So he has the authority. He has the power. And from centuries and centuries and centuries, at least a couple of millennia before this point, people were waiting for the Messiah to come, waiting for the king to come to Zion. So after this long wait, he's coming into the city, and he comes in through the eastern gate from the Mount of Olives. Now, interestingly, he's on the Mount of Olives. He goes across the Kidron Valley. In those days, there was a land bridge across it. Rides into the city through the eastern gate because that's prophesied about how Messiah is going to come. Then at the ascension, he ascends to heaven from the top of the Mount of Olives. And it's pretty neat that when he comes back again, the Mount of Olives is supposed to split.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to split down the middle. So a lot of connection to the Mount of Olives. But because he's coming into the city, Zechariah, my favorite minor prophet, tells us that we're supposed to shout and rejoice.
Yeah.
People are supposed to rejoice here because he has salvation with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the God of salvation. And you're supposed to cry out, Hosanna, which they do.
Yeah, they do. And the Pharisees aren't too happy about that.
No.
So he comes into the city riding on this colt, this donkey.
Yeah.
Baby donkey. And the people start crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David, which immediately catches the attention of the religious leaders of Jesus' day.
They don't like it.
No, not at all.
Luke's gospel tells us what they said. and what he said in return. But, you know, interestingly, he had condescended to take on humanity, to take on flesh. He'd emptied himself to become a servant. And now he rides into the city, meek and humble, on a donkey.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a kind, loving Savior who's the suffering Messiah. You know, a lot of the ancient rabbis concluded that there were going to be two messiahs because there was a description of a suffering Messiah, like we see in Isaiah 53. And then there were many descriptions of a triumphant Messiah, kind of like here, where he says he's going to banish the bows and the horses, and he's going to make peace, and his kingdom is going to be, you know, sea to sea and all this. So they concluded there's two messiahs because they can't be the same person if one's suffering and the other one's a mighty king. Well, we know that the Messiah is both of those things, but it's the same Messiah.
Yeah.
It's the same person. It's the same God-man who was the suffering servant and also will be the triumphant king. So even though he's the king, all capital letters, he's riding a donkey because his kingdom's not of this world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He when he comes into Jerusalem, we mentioned that it's Palm Sunday. You know, what's the significance of those palms?
Mm.
They lay down palm branches mm-hmm. as a way of that he doesn't have to walk on a dirt road.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to get dusty. You know, palms really don't probably protect you from all the dust. But
yeah.
It's a they're waving palm branches. And they lay these, you know, they're laying things before him as this entrance of the King of Kings.
Yes.
And we know what's going to happen because we know the account mm-hmm. of the story of what's going to happen in a few days. But this triumphant entrance into Jerusalem, you know, with the people shouting out, and then the Pharisees are telling him, you know, tell your disciples to be quiet.
Yeah.
And he tells them, if they don't cry out, yes. these rocks are going to cry out.
Yes. This day was planned long before creation.
Yeah.
And nothing was going to stop it from happening. And the Pharisees certainly weren't going to stop it from happening. And it's so important that, you know, the people who are... And of course, I have to mention an Old Testament connection because people are waving palm branches and yelling Hosanna to the Son of David.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this goes back to the Feast of Tabernacles, where you praise God waving four different kinds of branches, one of which is a palm. But they're actually following from the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, by waving palm branches and praising the guy who's on the donkey. Mm-hmm. Who is Jesus, who is Messiah.
Yeah.
So they're basically saying, Son of David, which means you're the Messiah,
mm-hmm.
you know, Hosanna to you, Hosanna to the Son of David, which means he's here to save us now. And this is why the religious leaders got mad.
Yeah.
Because they're not only are they saying this is the Messiah, but they're saying coming to save us.
Yeah.
And this is the interaction that's going on
mm-hmm.
With the one group of people that is accepting him as Messiah and giving him the main messianic title.
Yeah. Yeah. In the account that Luke has, his entry into Jerusalem, it says that, you know, he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, and he sent two of his disciples. He said, go into the village opposite you. As you enter it, you will find a colt tethered on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone should ask you, why are you untying it? You will answer, the master has need of it. So those who had been sent off went off and found everything just as he told them. And it happened, you know, and it happens the same way as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? They answered, the master has need of it. So they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks over it, over the colt, and helped Jesus to mount, you know, to mount this animal. As he rode along, the people were spreading their cloaks on the road, and now as he was approaching the slope of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to praise God aloud with joy for all the mighty deeds they had seen. And they were proclaiming, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I mean, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
Wow.
Yeah.
Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And then the Pharisees tell him, hey, teacher, rebuke your disciples.
Yeah.
But the you know, this had to happen, as you said. It was planned from the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
That he was going to enter into his passion, his death and resurrection, that he would enter into Jerusalem in this way, and the people would cry out, Hosanna.
Yeah.
You know, he's here to save us.
Yes.
He's the Son of David, and he's here to save us.
That's right. And that's what one group believed.
Yeah. I mean, think about the incredible joy that those people had to have in their hearts, knowing that they were seeing their salvation in Christ.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like my guy Zechariah prophesied.
Yeah.
Way to go there, Zech.
See, you don't need 66 books. You just need one.
Just need one. So, you know, no royal chariots, no horses, no heralds, no soldiers. You know, but riding on a donkey, the second coming is going to be a lot different than that coming.
Yeah.
There's going to be no donkeys involved.
Well, you know, what's interesting is as he enters Jerusalem riding on this donkey, there, you know, as you said, there's not, you know, the people are crying out.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a multitude of angels. There's not a triumphant entry into the city as far as from the heavenly realms.
Yeah.
But at his birth was the same way.
Yeah.
Very obscure, very, you know, a few shepherds heard about it from the angels that came and were praising God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very humble.
Yes.
It's very, you know, lowly, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of pageantry and fanfare about it, at least not on the earth.
Yeah.
So it's...
And you wonder how many people that were there thought about Zechariah 9:9.
Yeah.
Maybe these people that were shouting Hosanna, the religious leaders certainly weren't thinking Zechariah 9:9.
No.
They were thinking, here's that troublemaker, and some people think he's Messiah.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a, you know, it was a triumphal ride, but it was... It was kind of a poor triumphal ride, but it fulfills the prophecy, just like Jesus always said, you know, all these things are done to fulfill what the prophet said.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like from that account that there wasn't a lot of preparation made for this. Like they didn't talk about it for weeks on how they were going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They're overlooking the city and he says, well, go into the city and you're going to find this colt tied up and, you know, you can take him. Now, he wasn't advocating they're going to steal the donkey. This wasn't like a stolen car.
Yeah.
You know, he's but he has the authority to use this animal.
Right.
They probably sent it back afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, he created the animal.
Yeah, that's right. And it wasn't even his own donkey. He had to borrow it.
Yeah.
So, you know, keep that in mind when you listen to the prosperity preachers, too, that Jesus didn't even own a donkey he could have used.
Yeah.
Let alone live in a mansion and have a great job and get a big bonus.
And think about it, the master has need of it. And when they and then when the person hears the disciple saying this, he agrees with them. He goes along with them.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's interesting too. And these multitudes, I don't have it all in front of me, but this one group that we were talking about that yells Hosanna to the Son of David. There was another group that said, who is this? Who, you know, I don't remember the exact wording. I don't have it in front of me, but it's like, you know, who is this? So the Holy One of Israel is coming into his city, and his people say, who is this? They don't even know that it's him. They don't even know who he is.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the third group is the religious leaders, as usual, who then, as you pointed out, confront him by saying, you better keep your followers in order here, because we're not going to have any of this yelling that you're the Messiah and waving palm branches, because we're going to put a stop to this right now. So why don't you tell them to cut it out? And to show like nature itself would participate in this if the people didn't. This is what an important event this was. Just like at the crucifixion, there were earthquakes, because the nature responded to what had happened, even if most of the people didn't understand what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And this quote, you know, we hear Hosanna a lot in churches and songs and stuff. The the original meaning was, save us, come and save us.
Yeah.
And that comes from Psalm 118:25. And so, and then the following verse is, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So, you know, these are quotes actually from Psalm 118. So it's another old covenant connection to the new covenant scripture, which is pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
I always get excited about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Song of Songs, which is one of my favorite books, you know, points out that some people have, you know, the, Jesus is the beloved with a capital B, but a lot of people have other beloveds. So when they, a lot of people who are in this kind of middle group, they see him coming into the city looking kind of, you know, not really regal, and having, instead of having royal attendants, having this like sorry bunch of people yelling Hosanna to the Son of David. And they say, well, maybe he's just their beloved. You know, he's not our beloved, but
yeah,
maybe just their beloved, but we don't really know who this even is. And the multitudes, the common people, knew who he was.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking at Matthew chapter 21, where it says in verse 10, and when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken and asked, who is this? Mm-hmm. And the crowds replied, this is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.
Yeah.
You know, so there were people that didn't know, and there were people that did know.
Yeah.
You know, and just the, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, just as there were, you know, you think back to when the wise men came into Jerusalem, they knew, and yet the chief priests, the elders, they didn't know.
Yeah.
And they didn't go and seek and find him.
That's right.
You know?
No, that's a great connection. Yeah, there's always those groups, you know, even when you're talking to a group of people.
Yeah.
There's always a group that believes and says, oh, yeah, there's a group that right. says, I don't know, what is this all about? And there's a group that outright rejects it.
Yeah.
And you can usually tell by people's faces which group they're in.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a pretty good giveaway. Well, it's true because, you know, there's people that believe and they receive the word of God with a joyful heart,
mm-hmm.
and an open heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people who don't receive,
mm-hmm.
and they not only do they might scoff at the Holy Spirit or the things of God, but then there's others who will squelch the Holy Spirit of God.
That's right.
And really, you know, do a great disservice to the body of Christ.
Yeah. And interestingly, too, when the religious people should have known what was going on. You know, Paul talks about this in Romans 2, you know, of all the people, they should have known, because they should have, of course, known Zechariah 9:9. But then on the other hand, when he says, you know, the stones will cry out,
yeah,
it's interesting because they always presented themselves as we're children of Abraham and John the Baptist. And then Jesus says, well, God can make children to Abraham out of these stones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, one way or another, there's going to be praise that comes.
Yeah.
And, you know, the crowd calls him the King of Israel, which mm-hmm. is pretty neat. And that, of course, makes the Pharisees even madder. But now, you know, the kingdom is now really breaking in. You know, when Jesus comes, the kingdom breaks into the world. So, you know, you have that kind of, you know, the kingdom's here, but it's not completely here.
Right.
Because we still have wars, and we still have sin, and we still have death, and we still... But the kingdom's here in the sense that we can be delivered from that now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Jesus proclaims the kingdom of, you know, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand.
Yeah.
He's right before you. You know, as he tells people, you know, the Queen of Sheba came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, as something greater is here than that,
mm-hmm.
meaning himself.
Mm-hmm.
But as you were talking, I was thinking about, I went back to look at Matthew 3, when it says when John the Baptist is there, you know, baptizing, and he tells the Pharisees and Sadducees, you know, do not presume to say that to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God can raise up children mm-hmm. of Abraham from these stones. You know, that's when he calls them brood of vipers.
Yeah.
The greeting. But he, you know, we can't presume that just because our genealogy or our heritage or our, you know, that we're in this line of succession that we don't have to receive him.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has to receive him.
Good point.
Everyone has to receive him. Jew and Gentile.
Exactly. You know,
servant and slave, or a free person and slave. Everyone has to come to the cross and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Everybody has to look upon him who was raised up just as, you know, they raised up the serpent in the desert, as Moses
mm-hmm.
did,
mm-hmm.
and look upon him because he is the atonement for my sin.
Mm.
He's the atonement, or, you know, in medical terms, he's the antidote for what I'm suffering from.
Yeah.
And it's only in him that I can be saved and set free. Yeah.
Wow, that sums it up.
Yeah.
There's a famous Christian leader who's, we don't want to get into all that, but, you know, who has the belief that, well, the Jews have their own covenant, so they have a separate salvation, and, you know, but you hit the nail on the head. There's one Messiah, there's one door, there's one way, there's one road, there's one salvation, and Jesus makes that pretty clear.
Yeah, and what Jesus is going to do, and, you know, we're talking about things that happen on Palm Sunday, and next week we're going to talk about the resurrection, but there's a whole lot that happens in this week for us to ponder, and that's the Mass of the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
You know, that is that Seder meal that he came and celebrated and institutes the new covenant, the new and eternal covenant that is ratified in his own blood.
Mm-hmm.
And it is there because God wills it,
because
God, it's sovereignly set. Jesus is the atonement for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are covenants in the Old Testament, specifically with different sets of people. And the covenant that Jesus establishes is not by his own accord, it's by God's sovereign will. And he is the atonement for all of sin.
Yeah.
Past, present, and future, of what we're going to do tomorrow, what we're going to do the next day after that.
Yeah.
And there's no other way to the Father except through him.
Yeah. And this is why my guy Zechariah says Zion should rejoice because this is happening.
Yeah.
And some people rejoiced, maybe a third of them.
Yeah.
And the others should have known. But the other thing, since you mentioned Seders, and of course, this year, Passover, the first day of Passover is actually Good Friday. Mm-hmm. Passover starts actually sundown on Good Friday this year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty close to the year that Jesus died. But on the day that we call Palm Sunday, which is this day we're talking about, was the day that people went to pick out their lambs.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you lived in the city, you know, you couldn't really have flocks of sheep in your house.
Right.
So you had to have a lamb for the Passover.
Yeah, you had to procure a lamb.
Yeah, so you had to go someplace and get a lamb from somebody.
Right.
Because on the 4 days before Passover, you had to have the lamb at your house tied up in your backyard, so to speak, or in your apartment or whatever they had.
Right.
So on this day, people were out shopping for their lambs.
Yeah.
So you had to inspect the lamb to make sure it didn't have any blemishes.
Yeah.
That it was unblemished, that it was all the same color, that it wasn't sick. And so as the lambs were being looked at, the true lamb was coming into the city.
Yeah.
And as the lambs were being inspected for the sacrifice, the true lamb who was coming for the sacrifice, capital T, capital S, was rejected by the Pharisees.
Yeah.
They rejected him as the lamb. So in other words, they inspected the lamb and said, no, that's not him.
Yeah.
Oof.
Wow. Yeah, they inspected him and they rejected him, and he was without sin.
Yeah.
He was without blemish, but they didn't see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I always think, sometimes I think, too, that our friend Paul, St. Paul, was there as a Pharisee and may have been involved in this.
Yeah.
We don't really know. But is the show done?
It's,
is Palm Sunday over already?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, I hope you've had an awesome Palm Sunday.
And we just pray that as we recount this entrance of Jesus into the holy city of Jerusalem, as he prepares to undergo his passion, his death and resurrection, out of his great love for us, that you would come to know him in a deeply personal way and receive him as Lord and Savior. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.